on.
Do you guys want to talk about the Oscars? Want to do that up front?
You want to do that up front?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, sure.
Maybe we could segue naturally into From Russia with Love or something.
So it's basically the Academy Awards. It's an awards ceremony held in Hollywood.
You got to go through what the Oscars are. Thank you, Colin. Thank you. That's very interesting.
We've been doing it for 92 years.
What did you guys think of, before we get to the actual ceremony, what did you guys think of the nominees? Did they get it right this time? Was everyone represented?
Everything except I finally saw Uncut Gems, which is a gem. I mean, what happened?
I have no idea.
It was great.
They got zero nominations.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I have to say that, like, of the Best Picture nominees, this was like the first year that of the nine of them, Joker was the only one that I didn't really like. And all the other ones I thought were good. They wouldn't have been my nine nominees probably, but like... I couldn't say that any of them were bad movies except for Joker, which I didn't care for at all.
I thought Joker was good. I really liked that. Of the nine, the only one I didn't see was Ford versus Ferrari.
I didn't see it either, but so many people said it was good that I
saw it.
Yeah.
Alex saw it.
Alex, did you like Ford versus Ferrari?
Yes.
Did you bring the screener?
Of Ford versus Ferrari? With me?
Son of a
I thought you didn't want to watch it anymore because you didn't complete the Oscar race.
No, yeah, I was very pissed. I'm like, damn it. Me and Colin, I was like trying to like link up with him all week. And we're like, I'm like, what about 5 o'clock on Thursday? He's like, no, I'm working. I'm
just
like,
desperately trying to see stuff before the Oscars came out.
I think he was wrestling with the idea of asking me to drive the screener to Sherman Oaks. And I would not have done that and would have felt it was inappropriate for him to ask. But I felt like he almost asked.
Wait, what if he ordered? What if he ordered something from Uber Eats or whatever from you?
Yeah.
And like it was
I devised like the whole thing.
Yeah.
can keep the food, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I actually liked a lot of them. Like, honestly, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I thought was great. It was one of my favorite movies of the year. I didn't like the ending, but I liked every other part about it. And The Irishman,
like
I thought...
You didn't like the best part of the movie?
I'm sure that's a bunch of people's favorite part.
I'm absolutely sure it was. I liked it much better when it was in Inglourious Basterds. That was a much better, like, ultra-violent, out-of-nowhere, rewriting history ending that was, like, a surprise and exciting. It got to the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a movie that I was loving up until that point, and I was like, yes, Quentin Tarantino's back after two movies that I didn't care for. He's nailed it, knocking it out of the park. What's he going to do to surprise me at this end? And then it was like, oh, he's just going to do that thing that he did a couple movies ago.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that, too, knowing that, like, that was the gimmick of the movie the thing, you know? You're right. If that didn't happen in Inglourious Basterds, it would have been a much bigger surprise because the movie is structured in a way that, like, I saw it with Colleen, and she was like, I don't want to see her get murdered.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And it was like, that was my big question, is he actually going to kill her, which would be horrible, but maybe he'll do something with it, or is he actually going to change it like he's done in the past? And then, like, I wanted him to change it, but not in the exact same, oh, it's just going to be this bloody, kind of over-the-top, gory finale. But also, my favorite character in that movie, I thought Leonardo DiCaprio's character was amazing, and I thought Margot Robbie's character, like, was underwritten, but, like, they still pulled it off where I really cared about her. And the only character that I, like, Cliff Booth is an awesome character, very fun to cheer for, but I didn't really, like, have a lot invested in him. He was kind of an archetype for me.
Yeah, and because he's the forgotten of Hollywood. That's what he is.
Which is fine, but it was, like, the least well-rounded character, and the ending is like entirely his. You basically ignore those other two characters. They're like side notes.
But getting to see him on LSD is pretty
pretty
great.
Like, I've got no complaints with it. In a vacuum, that's an awesome sequence. But when
you are on a horsey,
exactly. Oh my god, it's such a great scene, and that's why I feel bad complaining about it, because it's an amazing scene in a vacuum.
Well, you should feel bad
paying off a great movie. It didn't do it for me, and I really wanted Leo's character, particularly, to have an impact, more of a decision.
Well, let's
be
real. He won the award because he took his shirt off.
I mean, that's why I gave him my award. Which was a confused heterosexual boner.
Painted gold.
It's my favorite Tarantino, I think, just after seeing it one time.
Wow.
And I like Tarantino, but I've always liked the way he did the violence as an over-the-top kind of thing.
But at this point,
I think his films do so many things well that seeing a large portion of it not really emphasize like some of the violent parts of that's like movies like Kill Bill and Inglourious Bastards,
which he does that great.
Those are two of my favorites of his. Yep. And even I liked Hateful Eight, which is like a lot of people's least favorite, but I thought
it was rough. But
I thought, but
it had its moments.
I think we've talked before about how I feel about when movies have, you know, snow in them. I was like shots of people in the snow. So Hateful Eight has that.
But the
of
violence
course.
Seemed felt like a crutch in this one. Like he's just going back to the easy thing that he knows rather than trying to like do something a little more challenging for him, which, you know, it's a minor complaint in a movie that definitely would have made my top 10 list. You know,
I think he was playing with that anticipation that you were feeling of when are we gonna reveal what he's changed and what his little, you know, flair or style.
Yeah, like I said, I was looking forward to it, just disappointed in what happened.
And I remember thinking, like foreseeing where it's going to go, thinking to myself, like, it's still messed up because these are real people that were murdered. It was, like, not that long ago where their loved ones are, like, still alive. They're probably going to see this movie or at the very least hear about it.
I know that Roman Polanski's wife complained about it, right?
Really, yeah. I know
Tate's a weird complaint. The new wife of the guy whose wife got killed,
but she complained about it for that very reason. It's like we're still dealing with this, and it's, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, it's. I mean, it'd be a different story if like Roman Polanski was dead, and like, you know, everyone involved was kind of dead, or like it was 100 years ago or something.
Roman Polanski, correct me if I'm wrong, cannot re-enter the United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, going into it, I was thinking, like, it's kind of disrespectful, and it's kind of, like, how can this be done in a way that it works? And by the end of the movie, it kind of leaves you with this, like, bittersweet taste of, like, you know, it made me feel like, man, it's really, like, a tragedy that it didn't unfold like this, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right. I think that's a lot of the idea. And and also, they do such a great job of, because it's this parallel between her and the Leo character of, like, a guy on the wane of his career and this girl who's got her whole life ahead of her and things are just turning around. And that's why, at the end, you start feeling this, like, dread of, like, oh, my God, nothing bad can happen to her right now. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. But I just wish those characters had a little, because that's why I cared about those characters more than the Brad Pitt character, who kind of is on a flat line throughout the movie. You know, like the other ones are going through a roller coaster. Brad Pitt's on a flat line, and I wanted to pay off the roller coaster. That would be more satisfying emotionally for me.
But it was a really good supporting character. He had a lot of the funny lines.
Yeah, like
you
I
know,
said,
like,
well, I got no complaints about the character, the sequence, any of that. It all was great.
Two of the like best scenes are Margot Robbie watching the movie.
Yes, agree.
That she's in. And the scene where the little girl actress tells Leonardo DiCaprio, that's the best acting I've ever seen. And he just breaks down and cries.
Exactly.
That is so good. It's like, it's
that,
like,
whole, that whole movement
it's kind
of
funny,
like,
but
fails.
It's kind of not because like, it you invest in it. Like, you can't help but invest in it.
That's what I'm saying. And honestly, for my money, that's my favorite Leo role. Like, you know, I had mixed feelings about The Revenant and Wolf of Wall Street. I thought he was great in both of those, but this was the one that I was like, holy shit, this dude can act, you know, because this was a role that really blew me away.
What other categories can we talk about?
Well, maybe we should talk about Parasite winning Best Picture.
Yeah.
What everyone would have thought we would have said first.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it was interesting because, like, by the Vegas standards, this was almost every category, right down to the shorts, was a landslide. It was, were locks. They were, they were not, like, there were not a lot. Everyone was predicting chalk because, honestly, the only, I guess, Best Picture and Best Director were kind of close in that there were, like, you know, way better odds for 1917 and Sam Mendes than there were for Parasite. But Parasite was kind of almost on the periphery. But even that, people were like, no, this is going to be chalk all the way.
All the Vegas picks were wrong.
And then it was right until every Vegas pick nailed right until.
No, a bunch of them were wrong.
No. There were all, like, Laura Dern, all the best actors, actresses, all the shorts, almost everything in this, except for maybe a couple of technical categories. And I think the best adapted screenplay, I think Jojo Rabbit surprised people there.
I think Brad Pitt was the shocker, right?
No, Brad Pitt was a heavy favorite in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
What about, who was the other one? Who were the other
Renee
nominees?
Zellweger?
No, for best male supporting.
Yeah, male supporting.
Oh,
was Taika Waititi one?
Uh, Joe Pesci and Al Pacino.
Yeah,
were Pesci.
Oh, Al Pacino. Yeah, yeah. I thought
they,
was
neither,
the...
no, neither of them were fit. They were. Brad Pitt was like a lock. That was everyone said that he and Laura Dern.
It was
were
also
sure
a
Renee
like
Zellweger.
What
and,
I don't understand.
Joaquin Phoenix were
it was
all
also
sure
a legacy thing. Award too.
What,
it was
what
like
I don't
your,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is they nominated. What is the Scorsese one called?
The Irishman.
The Irishman for so much stuff.
I heard you paint houses.
Okay. They nominated it for so much stuff, and
yeah,
I was
that was the title in the movie. Yeah. It's like, wait, what?
Scorsese can just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he can do whatever. Was he like sleeping through the Eminem part? By the way,
he was.
Anyways,
I couldn't. I'm glad that I wasn't the only one who couldn't figure out what the hell Eminem was doing there until they explained it later, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, I guess.
What? How did
I
they explain it,
it
later?
Because the year that he was nominated and won for best song for Lose Yourself, he didn't show up because he assumed that he was never going to win, and so they didn't perform it that year because who else is going to perform that song for him?
Right.
So like for whatever reason, they were like. I guess they just decided to invite him back to perform it, and he said yes.
I thought that was one of the cooler. Like everyone woke up when that happened.
Yeah,
you know?
I had like quite a few people. We had like probably 20 people or something. Like maybe between 10 and 20 people, and the whole Eminem part was like.
I love the
everyone was hyped.
I love the 50-year-old white people bobbing their heads too aggressively to Eminem in the audience. That was pretty funny. I love Billie Eilish. I think for a second trying to figure out who the performer was. She was definitely looking at the stage like. I don't know who this is. Why is
I feel like a
so
lot
excited?
Of her looks were like, I don't know what
I don't
signed
know what's
up for
going on
when
here.
I came here.
And then they cut to Tony Hawk, who's just there.
It's just like, yeah, I'm still somebody.
But anyways, they nominate Irishman for so much stuff, and they didn't, what they should have done is what they did. They didn't really win for anything, but they should have won for best VFX.
No.
Why?
No, 1,000 times no. Why?
The whole
why?
Movie is VFX.
It
they're all
like
old
shit.
As fuck.
No, it's most VFX, and they look old as fuck. They look slightly younger than old as fuck.
That's the most VFX work went into that movie.
It's not about the most.
It's not about the most work. It's about doing a good job, and they did not do a good job. Those old men looked ancient.
Well, you guys watched it, and I didn't.
Well, there you go. You know what you need to do? There is a YouTube video where a guy who just does deepfakes on YouTube redid The Irishman with deepfakes and made them look like young men. Made them look like actually the age appropriate for the characters. Because
it's not so much their faces, it's the body work that looks bad.
Why didn't they get body doubles? Because like when Robert De Niro is stomping that guy, his arms are curled up for balance around his chest, and it's just like and it's like an old man would do. And it just every time they get out of the chair or
when he
walk
throws the gun into the water.
It's so sad. It's like but it's like why not get a body double for that? But also it's amazing that they couldn't even like thin out their faces. They basically took 70-year-old guys and made them look like 50-year-old guys playing 30-year-old guys,
right.
Which is not good VFX. That's dumb casting and dumb VFX.
That's why I won't see it. I don't. That's why I can't be motivated to see it.
It's a
well, you can't tout the effects work and not see the movie. You have to see
listen,
it.
Listen, it's a good movie.
If
it
they,
also,
but if they nominated it for all that other crap, then they must have done good enough on the
VFX
work to get the VFX one.
It's
because all the whole movie is
listen,
VFX.
It's all in spite of that. Like I will say that that's probably one of my 10 favorite movies of the year too. But it's in spite of all that because if they had cast actual appropriate actors and made that movie. Like slightly shorter so that it wasn't so long. I finally watched it and I think it's good important to watch it in one sitting. I think it works on that level and it's a good Scorsese movie, but it could have been a great score. Like it could have been up there with his best work if he had just cast normal aged people that were appropriate for the part and cut like 20 minutes, a half an hour out of it
well,
somewhere?
It's like, one of the themes of the movie is, like, aging.
Yeah.
And you actually age when you watch it because you're there for so long.
I felt like I was ready for the rest home by the end of the movie.
Remember when I started this film?
Yeah. I think the two that I didn't watch were Little Women and Ford versus Ferrari. Everyone's raving about both of those. I'm looking forward to seeing both of them.
Little Women
just
was really good.
I want to see Little Women.
I saw it with
but
Colleen.
She should have gotten nominated for Best Director, right? That's like
yeah,
the,
that
big
the big complaint
going in.
Yeah, it's tough though because who would you take away from that best? I mean, obviously Todd Phillips because I didn't like that movie and thought it was like a.
Todd Phillips is the Joker.
Yeah. I thought it was like a smart movie or a dumb movie impersonating a smart movie or something. It was like a shallow movie impersonating a deep movie is a better way to say it. I thought it like acted like it had a lot of deep shit to say and really didn't have anything to say. And also, if you've ever seen. The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Nothing in The Joker is even remotely it's basically just a Cliff Notes version of those that isn't as effective, which, you
know. Your opinion is super similar to my roommate's, except he feels, like, passionate hate about it. He's, like, so mad that, like, I don't have a problem with Joaquin Phoenix winning Best Actor.
He definitely should win,
like,
most acting.
Joker shouldn't win anything because it's not good. Like, and he's, like, mad.
I don't think it's one of the best movies of the year, but also I get why people like it, and I don't think that's necessarily. Like,
I definitely think he deserved that. I think Joaquin Phoenix deserved that award.
I would have given it to DiCaprio. I think he does a lot of acting in that movie. I don't know if it's the best acting of the year. He's definitely acting his ass off.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job.
Without Joaquin Phoenix, though, I don't see how. You know, there's a lot of people like you who don't like it and don't like it for good reasons.
Right.
But without Joaquin Phoenix, I don't see how the people who do like it get into it at all.
Right. Well, right. And I'll admit that the things that it does well, it does really. Like, his performance is good. Very good.
I thought
maybe
the cinematography.
The cinematography was amazing. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. And the music I thought was great, too. So, like, there's stuff that it did well. I just think it's all in the service of a mediocre story. But
my boy Marc Maron's in it. I mean, come on.
Right. Correct.
I'm trying to think what other than Uncut Gems, which was I have no explanation for why that and why Sandler and why the Safdie brothers didn't get any love.
That's
for
wild.
Any of that, because it really was an excruciating movie to watch. It was so anxiety inducing, but that was the point.
Yeah.
And they did that so well. And
I
the
loved
performances
it. Yeah,
in that
man,
were all incredible.
About it. Yeah. The realism of it and like Adam Sandler's performance was great and just everything.
I think Parasite maybe was a better movie though.
Than
Uncut Gems.
Not
that Uncut Gems
Parasite
wasn't
great. Blew me away. I thought that was a really good movie. And I'll tell you the roller coaster ride that I felt among like in the world is that when Parasite came out, everyone was talking about how great it was and how it was you have to see it, whatever. Don't look into what it's about, don't read up about it, just go see it blind, right? And so that's what I did, was blown away, loved it. Months go by, people are still kind of talking about it, and, you know, obviously not at the level that it was when it first came out, but, you know, oh, other movies come out, Irishman, pretty good, you know, this, what was the other one we were just talking about? 1917 comes out, right?
Yeah.
And it was a latecomer.
Yeah.
It came out, like, what, Christmas Day or whatever?
But it's made for Oscars.
Made for Oscars. It's a technical feat. It's beautiful.
It's a very impressive movie. It's a very good movie.
It's a really good movie.
War
movies do well.
It's,
and it's a war we don't oft see in film.
Especially after they gave Green Book the Best Picture last year, which sort of signaled that the Oscars is for older audiences.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And 1917 would seem like a lock then because
but
war movies.
1917
are for older
wasn't audience. Like an eye roller like in the way Green Book.
No. Yeah, this is the one that like. Listen, the only bad thing I can say about 1917 is I may never watch it again, and I think in 5 years I might not even remember that it happened. Especially now that it's not an Oscar winner, I'm not going to be complaining about it winning an Oscar. So it might disappear from my memory. I felt like there's other movies in that list that came out this year that I will be rewatching constantly, including. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Parasite and, you know, a bunch of ones that didn't even get Uncut Gems. And
but I felt the tide turn in the past few weeks. It's now like February. And in January, it was kind of like 1917. That's the clear front runner. It's going to win. And then all of a sudden, in the past like 2-3 weeks, you start to feel people say like, I don't know, like Parasite was really good, you know?
Yeah.
And Parasite was starting to like
Parasite never went away.
Yeah.
That's the thing. 1917 by Vegas was still a heavy favorite and Sam Mendes was a heavy favorite for Best Director going into the ceremony, but Parasite never disappeared. There was always this undercurrent of everyone has been talking about this movie all year, it feels like.
Yeah.
And
I think it came down to the, you know, people were voting and they looked at the names of the movies on their ballot or whatever, and they were like, yeah, 1917 was good, but, you know, Parasite, it's kind of better.
I don't know what these people... I really, going into this Oscars, I was a little... My viewing of it was tainted by the fact that last year's Oscars gave me this perception that a lot of the Oscar... A lot of the voters for the Academy who determine it are older and out of touch.
Well, that was from several years ago, and they've actually changed the demographics quite a bit. I wonder if Green Book was both the like the white guilt and the resentment for white guilt. Both of those things factored into people's decisions to be like, I like this movie that everyone's saying is old and bad and inadvertently racist, or I feel bad and I want to give it to this movie that's about race relations. I think both those people were But also, haven't they been doing the last few Oscars the preferential voting where you vote for your
top three,
your top
or whatever.
Three or whatever,
or you number them all of them, don't you?
So that also benefits something like Parasite. Whereas if a bunch of people said, "Hey, I love The Irishman" or "I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood," and then Parasite's my
almost
second
always
choice.
Put it
if
second,
Parasite won the second choice of like that,
you
many
just get
ballots,
a whole bunch of silvers and it turns into a gold.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is, I don't think that's a bad way to do it. I think it ends up with some interesting.
But just from my perception, it's like, oh, they did this last year with Green Book. Yeah. This is, my perception is, you know, that the Oscar voters are older and out of touch. And then, so to me, to see Parasite win was like inspirational in a way.
Well, don't forget, Parasite's going to be one of the weirder Oscar winners, just like the looking back on it, like, wow, how did that happen? Things, not that it didn't deserve it, because there's plenty of like, it's not going to be like a crash, but it's going to be like a, where did that come from?
It's going to be a piece of trivia.
Much like The Shape of Water was a couple years ago. Weird. How did that beat out other stuff? Like, how did that end up at the top of the pile?
That was a weird.
I think you can make like a really sick trivia question that has the answer is like Mitt Romney and Parasite. Who's the only person from the same party to nominate or to
vote against?
Vote for the removal from office from his own party.
Mitt Romney and Parasite.
Yeah.
Just real quick, because I only saw Parasite once. I've got a very like conflicted feelings about Bong Joon-ho's work, in that like the genre bending doesn't always work for me, and I'm like, I never know if I'm supposed to be laughing, or I know that's part of it, but it makes me uncomfortable in a way that doesn't work for me a lot of times, and this was one of those. And then I felt like it didn't stick, the ending, for me. I was kind of like, it was a very melancholy kind of down ending, which a lot of times will work for me, but in this case didn't. I'm not saying I didn't like it also on my top 10 list, and I think my feelings on it might crystallize in a more positive way if I saw it again. But give me your pitch of why you both really loved it.
I mean, I saw it a long time ago too, but as far as I remember is that, like right from the beginning, I was sucked in and I was like, oh, this is great filmmaking, visual storytelling. I'm right in there. You know, it's a classist kind of thing going on. Great, which is another thing that bugged me, is like the movie won so many awards. I wanted someone to say something about the subject matter of the film, but they didn't really. It was kind of just like, hey,
yeah,
foreign film, you know?
Yeah, well, I think they did say that, and that's the only thing they said, is that this is from Korea. This is a Korean film.
And also,
yeah,
they said it in the movie. You know, it's like the point was pretty, you know, the points they were making were pretty clear.
Yeah. And then just like, you know, the twists and turns, like I went into the movie knowing nothing about it.
I had no idea what was going to happen at any time.
And then, you know, there were parts of the ending that I thought, yeah, I was like, you know, I don't want to say it if no one's seen the movie, but like.
I'm excited to see this film, because it got Best Picture, get digested by the people
bigger
who would
audience.
Refuse to see it otherwise.
Yes, yeah.
Because I think that's important. I think that's important for the subject matter. Yeah. It's like.
It's just a fun movie. I mean, it's a fun movie that people wouldn't normally be exposed to that now they probably will.
It's like the least foreign film I've ever seen. Like, you watch it, and yes, it has subtitles, but like, it's such a simple story that's easy to. Yeah.
I definitely felt like it's very much. You feel that it is set in Korea and that there's very specific things to the culture and everything, but it relates to anyone.
Exactly.
I was gonna say. Like, I think it's funny that, like, I don't think they can do the English language remake now, but the normal trajectory for this movie is it only gets nominated for best foreign language film or best whatever they're calling it now.
And then they do an American
And then they
version.
Do an American remake in 3 years. It would already be in pre-production right now, as we're speaking, or maybe even in production right now.
Well, there's like,
and
some very
now they really can't.
There's some very specific things that
they could easily translate that to. To hear,
I read an article today
won't.
That said they want Mark Ruffalo for the lead.
So they probably are going to do it. Yeah.
Which lead?
That's the thing. They said they don't know which part he would play or
but
how they would do it.
Also, the movie's been so broadly seen and it depends so much on the surprises and twists and turns. I just don't know that that's going to be. I don't think it would be a successful. Because
it's
going to
be an HBO series. That's what they're saying.
Oh, that's interesting, because then they can actually go a little farther and do something different. Because they just remade. Like, Force Majeure is a good example of a recent, really good foreign film that was like an incredible foreign film that didn't get its due really because it was in a different language. language. It had subtitles, and now it's from what the word out of Sundance
of it,
was.
And I don't remember it being funny, and I'm a little confused by the Will Ferrell.
It was very dark satire, but it was definitely funny-ish, but it had like its own tone.
Will Ferrell is laugh out loud funny. This was like kind of quirky or whatever.
Well, I think they've tried to balance that a little bit in the reaction out of Sundance for Downhill was not good.
I mean, everybody knows that Will Ferrell's best movie is Bewitched.
I thought it was Land of the Lost.
Speaking of hot takes, what are some movies that you guys saw that were your like top favorite movies of the year that didn't get nominated for Best Picture?
I have a list on my phone. You could talk to Colin first.
Well, I mean, movies we didn't talk about, they were nominated. I mean, Jojo Rabbit was nominated for a lot of stuff, and I thought it
was really
great. That was
nominated
great.
For
I don't
Best
think
Picture. We haven't talked about it yet, but
yeah,
it was.
Among
us
stuff that didn't
right
get
now.
Any love.
Yeah, among us right now, I think we haven't given Jojo Rabbit enough.
It was fine. It was cute. I liked it. It could have been funnier.
It's really good. It's not a comedy.
It is very much a comedy.
It is a coming-of-age story.
Which one?
Jojo Rabbit.
I fell asleep in the theater.
Yeah, it was cute. It was fine. It could have been better. I love Hunt for the Wilder People is a much better Taika Waititi movie.
Yeah, and What We Do in the Shadows, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
I have the list here of every movie I've seen this year.
We don't need to hear them all. Just your top that weren't nominated for Oscars.
I thought Us was really good. A lot of people were down on
that. That's
yeah.
very high on my list. Better on the rewatch, too, I thought.
Yeah, I think I saw it twice.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame.
It was good fan service. It wasn't, you know.
Is that an indie? I've never heard of that.
You know, it was funny. There was one of the presenters or something said something like, these are the films that the Academy feels has made the most impact. And they were kind of like saying it in.
Yeah.
But it's like the way you did that actually sends me on another train of thought to where it's like, well, if you think about it, what made the most impact
is the movie that made $1 billion
this
year.
That's the money right there. Like that's the one everyone saw.
Yeah.
No matter who they are, no matter if they don't see any other movies at all, that impacted society. But like,
continue, Matt. What else?
You know, that's not what you're talking about at all. And also, you know, what are you like? You know, I don't know.
It was
a weird moment.
I'm going down the list.
I appreciate people trying to like, you know, speak out for social causes and stuff and.
Social
like
causes
that.
Like not watching Marvel movies.
What did you think of Joaquin Phoenix's acceptance?
Oh my
speech?
God, what an interesting!
I thought it was great.
It was awesome.
I will say that for what's her name? Who's the best actress? Can't think of her name. Judy.
Renee Zellweger.
Her speech. My internet was like glitching out, and it kept like you know like freezing for
you
a second.
You thought it was her.
And it made her speech really uncomfortable for me because it just kept coming back, and she was I couldn't tell if she was bombing.
I think she's having a stroke.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh,
no, it was
God.
Very heartfelt. It was very conservative, like safe speech, just thanking all the people who you know.
The Renee Zellweger part was not good for me because I didn't hear any of the speech because the person sitting next to me was, just talking about her plastic surgery and how she doesn't look like she's had it anymore, and I was like. Okay, I don't care that
oh,
much,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I
right.
also still think
she because for a while
like
there she looked like she had a
surgery.
Totally different face.
Yeah.
And now she looks like she's got a normal.
She does
face
look
again.
She
kind
they
of, yeah.
they it she used to look like she had too much plastic surgery and it went wrong. Now she looks more
which
normal.
Which is so rare because usually
and
once
that's
they
and
do
that,
that
is really good.
Once they do that plastic surgery, oh no, it's gone wrong thing. There's usually not a lot of recovery.
Yeah, and that's
and
really good.
Again. Yeah,
but for me it's like.
Good for her. I actually don't know her business. Maybe she.
For me it's like
surgery.
I didn't
like it.
I didn't want to go off on a long. Conversation about that or take a hard stance in that and so
yes, we
I missed the whole speech because someone was just telling me about the classic
anyways
surgery.
Matt get back to your list.
I have two movies on my list here that I thought should have been at the Oscars more and they weren't
or that you liked a lot.
Yeah, one of them was The Lighthouse. Have you guys seen
yeah.
that?
Lighthouse was nominated for cinematography.
That's
and it should have been because it really was one of
it's,
the best looking movies
it was
it's the one movie this year that I haven't seen that I want to see the most and I haven't seen
I think that should have been up there instead of
I haven't
like
seen
Ford
Little
versus
Women.
Ferrari. I mean I haven't seen
it's
Ford
such
versus
a, it's
Ferrari,
such a weird one. I enjoyed it too. It had this like David Lynchy vibe and it looked gorgeous. I didn't know, but when that ended, I spent like 5 minutes just staring at the blank TV screen going like, what am I feeling right now? What's up with this?
I watched it again. I immediately turned it off and put it on again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably have to take another look to get a good vibe on it, but it was probably outside of my like top 10 or whatever, but it was definitely somewhere on my list.
Ford v. Ferrari, it's good.
Will you get on the question that's being asked of you? What one that wasn't nominated for an Oscar? Did you just watch the nominees?
I said Endgame.
No. I have another one.
I can't think of what's, what I we already talked about Uncut Gems.
Well, Matt's got more.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
That was nominated.
Just him for acting. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't get any love.
I feel like
else.
If I had said that, you would have told me that it was nominated for something.
No, I wouldn't have. That's exactly
okay,
what
I like. Knives
you,
Out. I love Knives Out.
That's a good answer.
It
that's
was nominated for something. Though.
That's definitely on my list of things that I thought were like the best picture of
it's
the year.
It's in my top five.
That's in my top five too. I would say Uncut Gems and Knives Out are in my top five.
Maybe I went into Knives Out with like too much hype or something. I did like it. I did not like it. I would call it the best of like the mediocre range of movies.
Whatever. See, I don't think my standard was
it's because you don't like Daniel Craig. Obviously.
I love Daniel
Craig. It seems obvious to me that you don't like Daniel
my standard
Craig.
For that wasn't like that it's that it needs to be important
what
or anything.
Podcast are we
I just
on?
I just thought it should be like fun and interesting and surprise me. And for to do a thing where like spoiler alert, you find out who the killer is very early in that movie. And it still is constantly full of surprises, and you still care about it, and it was fun all the way through. The cast was great. I just thought it was well written. It's like not an important movie, but it's a really good movie.
Yeah,
it's like
Clue.
Really well
it's
made.
It's like, you know, that kind of thing.
I grew up with a lot of Murder, She Wrote in the House, a lot of Columbo in the House, Matt Locke, he was there.
You don't all have of weird right. old people in your house.
Okay, I got three more in my top five that I want to know if you guys saw. One is a documentary called Honeyland that's on Hulu right now. That was my favorite movie of the year.
I shouted you out, though, when they said it, Honeyland. I was like, woo, Harris has seen that.
Yeah, it was my favorite movie of the year. It was so good. It doesn't seem like, it's like one of those weird ones where it's like a doc where you're like, how did they get this access? And then how did they happen to be filming these people when this wild, dramatic story takes place?
What is the gist?
The gist is it's this beekeeper in...
Another
I can't
country?
Even remember Macedonia or something. I don't think Macedonia is even a place anymore.
So a made up place.
It's north of Greece.
But I don't think it's called that anymore. I think it's a different country now.
I think it's called that.
I don't know, Colin, but I don't think it's a whatever I'm saying is not probably the country that it is then. Anyways,
it's called Narnia now.
So it's this woman who lives like in absolute poverty with her ailing mother, and she makes her living tending bees and selling the honey at a market, and then. Neighbors move into like her village was just abandoned by everyone else, so she's literally the last person in a house in this village with like no anything. And then
it's called North Macedonia, and it was formerly known as the Republic of Macedonia, and it's in between Bulgaria and Albania.
So there you go, there is no more Macedonia, it's called North Macedonia now. So, anyways, this North Macedonian beekeeper woman. With her mother, and it seems like it would be boring. And then this family moves in, and this family of like roving people on a caravan move in, and they got little kids, and she likes little kids, and they're like, "Yay, neighbors!" And it's like good at first, and then it gets tense and not so good, and then all these bad things start happening to this woman, and you think it's and then other like I don't want to ruin it because it's just a really good story. If you have Hulu, check it out. It's really fun. It was my favorite movie of the year. It looks really good. It's just a fun movie.
I did like that. Midsummer was shouted out at the Oscars during the opening performance.
Yeah.
Janelle Monáe, when like everyone was dressed up like characters from movies of the year, and you see like the May Day people or like whatever it's called. Yeah.
And the and people in Joker outfits and Queen and Slim outfits were part of that. But that musical number went on way too long.
Yeah. Oh, what did you think of Billie Eilish singing yesterday? I thought that was great.
Yeah,
that was good.
And she'll be back next year singing the Bond song, I'm sure.
Being at an Oscars party was not fun for that because it's like too many people being like, so did they just choose her because she's young? Why did they choose her? Is it because she's young? And
they weren't watching the In Memoriam section and talking about that. That's always my favorite part of the Oscars.
Where's Luke Perry? That was the big thing.
Another one, Last Black Man in San Francisco. Did either of you guys see that? That's on Amazon Prime right now. Very good. I enjoyed that a lot. And one of my favorite movies.
I
want to
see Dolomite. I didn't see that.
Oh, Dolomite's really good. I like Dolomite.
I want to see it.
Waves. Did either of you guys see Waves? All right.
It looked good.
Is it like Ocean or Hand?
I think more Ocean, but I think it's like more metaphorical. Anyways, all I can say is don't read anything about it. Don't listen to anything about it. Give it the Parasite treatment.
Okay.
Just go into that movie cold, watch that movie, and like when it rips your heart out, just keep watching till the end. It's like a really weird cathartic experience.
What do you mean rips my heart out?
It might not. You might not care, Colin. I don't know that you have
what
a heart.
What do you mean watch it till the end?
Just keep on watching the movie. Don't turn it off because you're
like
so...
Like after the credits? Like there's a end credits bonus
just
scene?
Just watch it to the end of the movie. Just like, don't turn it off when you're like, oh, fuck this shit. Just
it's rare for me to actually do that. You
yeah,
know
I've
that,
never.
Right?
It's rare for most people, but I'm just saying.
There are movies recently. Where I've done that before.
I almost did it recently with what I think is the worst movie of the year. And I think I told you about this a little bit.
What?
Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Dark Fate.
Oh, my God. I wish Dan was still here. Dan, who we work with, is like singing the praises of that and loves it to death. He loved it.
It was such garbage.
Yeah. It sounds bad.
Did not see it.
From what I've heard,
did not see it.
We
mainly from Matt.
We might have to see it again soon.
If we do the. Let's try to avoid that. What was. I'm going to bring up my enormous rankings just to see what my least favorite movie.
You know what movie that people like? It's a documentary. People like it a lot. That I did not finish and just turned off. Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Have you ever seen that?
That's an older one, but
it's from like five, six, 7 years ago.
I've never watched that to completion. I've fallen asleep in that several times.
I was just like,
I've completed several times while watching it.
This is a good year for documentaries. Besides Honeyland, there was also. For Sama was really good and also excruciating to watch. Apollo 11, did you guys see Apollo 11?
I saw parts
that was
of it.
That was crazy good. I was like blown away. Like they just did it with all stock, all this footage and all like just the sounds and no narrator or anything. And just
I bet they played it at the Space Center in Houston.
They had it at IMAX. That's how
That's one that I regret that I didn't see it in theaters.
You know what else was hot garbage? Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh.
That was the only person I saw it with who liked it.
So my
we got out and they're just like that was awful, right? Yeah. I was like, yeah, but I really liked it.
Awful good.
The bottom of my list was a movie called Diamantino, which is like it was about this soccer star, like a Ronaldo type of like world famous soccer star who like loses his mojo and has like these hallucinations where he's playing soccer with giant puppies and in the end he grows breasts. It is so fucking weird. And terrible.
That sounds cool. What is it called?
Diamantino.
You had me at breath.
What category was it in? Oh, this is one of the ones that wasn't.
We're just talking about bad movies now. A Hidden Life, the Terrence Malick movie.
Oh, it was bad?
It was 3 hours long, but it felt like 12 or 13 or 14.
Ugh.
And it was all shot with a fisheye lens for some reason.
Ugh.
And there was hardly any dialogue. It was so bad and unwatchable.
So bad.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was at least normal thing of like people being like, the wind is beautiful when it blows.
It was like all of his worst and most self-indulgent instincts as a filmmaker, I think, all wrapped up into one awful
package.
He's
lost it.
I also hated Glass. Like I liked parts of
me too.
Sequences of that, but by the end I was like, oh, you lost me and you're never getting me back.
Yeah, it's like they missed. They took a swing and they missed.
Also, Queen and Slim is a movie that I should have loved. Like, it's, like, right up my alley in so many ways. And it was just... You know what? Like, I think I said this before on this podcast about Uncut Gems, finding ways to have these minor characters played by non-actors that felt like they were real people with real lives. And Queen and Slim is the exact opposite. It had all these really talented actors playing these characters that should feel like real people and just felt like artifices of a screenwriter that was trying to do something that didn't
see
that.
I've only seen the trailer, and I totally kind of... get what you're talking
about. I love the actors. I liked the vibe. I like the idea of like the, you know, kids on the run type of thriller type thing, and it just didn't work.
Did you see Harriet? I did not.
I did not.
Okay. You know what didn't get nominated that should have? Hobbs and Shaw.
I missed that one.
Why didn't you like Godzilla?
First of all, it looked like shit. All the effects, like, here's what we're going to do.
You know what I didn't
Godzilla's going to pop out, and instead of showing him, we're just going to, like, make the whole screen red. Or, you know, like, everything is like, and then another monster's going to come out, and it's going to be all blue and all yellow. It just was, and the plot was terrible. It was just like, okay, we have this machine that could control the monsters.
Yeah.
And, like, they just globetrot, like, too fast, and, like, it was fucking terrible.
I don't like the Fenway Park part.
The end?
Well, just that they, just more Fenway.
I'm done with
Boston. I don't need more Red Sox.
Yeah.
They traded Mookie Betts, so as a Red Sox fan, I will say that I'm kind of done with them, too,
Mookie
for a while.
Mookie Betts to the
Boston
Dodgers.
In movies
oh,
lately.
My God, it's terrible. I can't believe
Gemini Man? Did anyone see that?
No. I had it in the movie league that we play fantasy movie league at work, and I had it and didn't watch it. I could have gotten bonus points, but I wasn't even willing to go.
I would only have seen it if I could see it in a theater that had 120 frames per second, which is the way it was meant to be seen.
I'm going
to
see it later on in my life when I'm younger.
That's true.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said I'm going to see it later on in my life when I'm younger.
Yeah. Watch it with your younger self. Did anybody see Honey Boy?
No,
no, I heard that was
that's
on
Amazon
Prime now.
Prime,
yeah, it just came out on Amazon Prime. I really liked that. It wasn't like that upper echelon top 10, but it was a really well told story. And like, I've got a lot more respect for Shia LaBeouf as both an actor and like a creator.
Who was the kid that came out with Shia LaBeouf at the Oscars? Is he from the movie?
Played his younger self.
I thought that guy was from Peanut Butter.
I must
Falcon.
Have missed that.
Oh,
part.
Is that what it is? Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, the mentally handicapped guy. Yeah, yeah, that's
I don't think
Peanut
he's a
Butter
kid.
Falcon.
I don't know.
Anyways, that I heard that I didn't see that movie. You saw Peanut Butter Falcon, right, Alex?
Can you tell
Did
us you something
like Peanut
about
Butter
it?
Falcon?
Yes.
Is that all your good analysis?
Do you have
Alex?
Anything else?
I did like it. It was
saw,
surprising.
Is that guy from it? Nothing. The guy who presented with Shia LaBeouf?
I didn't watch the Oscars.
Good for you.
Wow.
I looked at the recap once everything was announced and went, oh.
Yeah. That's what I usually do. But also, you don't get that jaw-dropping moment when Parasite wins, and you're like, holy shit, they actually did it. Although, it was if he hadn't won for Best Director, it would have been a little more of a moment, because at that point, I was like,
well, then it
when
was
he
like,
won for Best Director, I was like, oh, it's a Parasite night. They're definitely going to win it.
Yeah, as soon as Parasite started winning stuff in the beginning, I was like, well, they're going to win everything.
Yeah, it's like it was just a momentum thing.
Yeah,
I used to really, really not like watching it.
Because it used to be frustrating, because you used to think it mattered. And now you're smart enough to know that it's all kind of bullshit and not
put
too much
stock
in it.
That and where I'm at in my life now is like I have, you know, friends who have interesting perspectives on it, and it can be an event where we get together and there's like a whole other social element to it where it's, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, well, this is my Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, you know, some of the people who were at my Oscar party were like, this is my Super Bowl, and they were at the Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, you know, like, it's just fun to get together. And
this was
and
the
stuff
first
like that.
Year that I actually was like, because I've never cared before, but this was the first year I was like, I actually kind of wish I was invited to an Oscar party this year, because that would have been, I would have been,
I just want to like take a shot with Bong Joon-ho or take a bong hit.
No, not like a real party, but just like a party to watch it, you know, like just like the social event, like what you're talking about, like to have it like be a fun social.
I think it's much more fun as that. It's sort of, you sort of get a little like kind of suckle off the experience of being there, because it is for them who is there. It's also a party, a social gathering.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine used to always write. He used to do like the entertainment column for the local paper and in New Haven, and he always used to like do like live watches of stuff and just live blog the shows. So he'd always invite us over to like make jokes and talk about the things. And I hope none of that is online, because there was a lot of very inappropriate jokes that somehow made it into the world.
Very racist.
Yeah, but that was always like the fun thing, is we'd all just get drunk and watch these stupid like the Country Music Awards or something like that. And it was like it became a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that is fun.
That is
fun. But
fun.
When I was younger, I hated watching the Oscars because, well, it's long and slow. But also, I didn't appreciate someone else telling me what's good. I was like, I know what I like, and that's all that matters, me and what I like.
Yeah, there's something absurd to like the subjectivity of it.
Yeah,
because
you agree with me that Godzilla should have been nominated for something.
Well, it's like how we all have to acknowledge that Crash was the best movie of whatever year that came, 2006 or whatever. Yeah. Now it's proven, so we can't.
Right.
You know,
or The Artist.
I remember
exactly. Like that classic The Artist that we rewatch every year because it is the best movie of that year.
I think I liked The Artist, but I never watched it more than one time.
Yeah, you don't have to dislike The Artist to find that baffling.
And I still worked in a theater when Crash was out, so I only ever saw it in pieces, but I feel like I got a good impression for what it is.
It was what it was.
Have you seen Documentary Now?
Yes, I love
the episode The Kid Stays in the Picture, the two-parter.
That's a good one.
The very end of it is like, I got it. racism. I'll make racism the movie. And then it's just, yeah. And then it says in subtitles, yeah, he won for Crash the next
one. That one and the Grey Gardens episode. I'm trying to think of what there's a couple of really good ones that they're also lampooning such a specific movie that it's like that Grey Gardens one is brilliant because if you've never watched Grey Gardens, you probably still find it bizarrely entertaining, but you wouldn't realize how close to actual Grey Gardens that is.
Yeah, I guess that's my question. Like, I tried to watch that show, and I was skimming through the episodes, and I'm like, I haven't seen the doc that's making fun of.
Oh,
I haven't seen.
You immediately pick up on what it is.
It helps a lot.
It just educates you to what the one, like, whatever thing they're lampooning it is, it educates you a lot to what that actually is.
But it adds another level of appreciation, but I think you still find it, like, there's still jokes that are independent of it. It's not just spoofing.
I watched one
episode,
it was so long ago, I don't remember, though.
It's really fine to not have seen the source material.
Speaking of Oscar winners of yesteryear, I did watch Hoop Dreams recently.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I had never seen it.
I've always wanted to see that.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I'm really good, I don't know, like, what I've been doing.
Really good and, like, sadly, like, devastating, especially because that came out when I was playing high school basketball. It was just like, wow, I'm not even going to play next year. Like, I actually don't think I played my junior year because I was like, oh, it's over for me. If these guys can't make it, I should probably start learning to do something else.
This is what happened to me. I'm watching it with Colleen and she's like, so these guys, like, they grow up, they make it, right? They're in the NBA. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that both of these guys, like, made it to the NBA. And by the end, I was like, oh, my God, I'm wrong. I don't know shit about shit.
I don't think I can watch this, actually. Yeah,
it's a documentary about having your dreams be crushed, kind of.
I feel like if I really pursue watching certain films, like, just for the intellectual need of it, I run the risk of putting myself into a serious funk.
Yeah. Also, but by the way, I think you introduced that as a Oscar thing. I don't think it was even nominated because I think there was a rule. There was some rule that it, like, didn't get released in the right time frame or order or in the right theaters or something.
Which one?
Hoop Dreams didn't even get a nomination.
You might be right.
It was by far the best doc that year. Everyone in the world saw it. It was the most popular documentary of the year, and I don't think it even got nominated. So, putting the Oscars back in perspective just a little bit in our hour-long Oscar podcast that we're doing.
I think Hoop Dreams, though, is considered not only one of the best docs of all time, it's considered, like, one of the greatest movies. It's, like, on someone's list.
It's an amazing, definitely makes it.
Because, like, I think going into it, they didn't plan on it being about, like, as in-depth as it became.
Yeah, I think
they started off doing
something slightly different. But that's the best docs are, like, you know, Capturing the Freedmans, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but it's a guy who started doing a doc about New York circus birthday party clowns, and he was just doing profiles of these birthday party clowns, and then one of them is, like, happens to casually mention that his father and brother are both in jail for molesting children, and that he obsessively videotaped their entire lives when he was younger, so he basically has videotape of the family as they go from, like, a normal, happy family to this terrible thing happening where these guys are being accused of this, and, like, and they just put together all this documentary. They literally start the movie off as a documentary about birthday clowns, and then it takes this hard right turn.
Yeah. I feel like we keep going to movies that you could convince me are very good, but also might give me depression.
Oh, yeah, heart-wrenching. Just really rough stuff. Anyways, we should wrap this up. So anyways, in conclusion, great year for movies. See Honeyland.
Yes.
And Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Solid.
Everything that was nominated for anything.
See everything that was anything.
Yeah.
See every movie ever.
Toy Story 4, saw that recently. And Doctor
Sleep. I was really disappointed that won Best Animated.
Yeah,
What was your pick?
It's a fourth sequel.
But what was your pick?
Missing Link.
Didn't that win some other award?
It's stop motion. It's an achievement. And it was.
But was it good? I heard that it wasn't that good.
I mean, it was watchable. Like,
giving the Irishman defense, I thought he was going to say, well, I didn't actually see it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it speaks volumes that I wanted to see it more than I wanted to see Toy Story 4.
That makes it a better movie, that Colin's desire to possibly see it.
Yes. I think you should factor in, like, whether or not people want to see it at all. Not, you shouldn't just go off the box office, but, I mean, if there's, I don't know.
Well, Colin pontificates. We're going to wrap it up and move on to our actual podcast.
This has been our Oscar recap.
Yes.
What an exhausting experience. All right. And now on to the real show.
Yes. Right.
Real C-Rock.